Right now, bless his holy name. Have you enjoyed your Wednesday night so far? Oh, come on now. Have you enjoyed this Wednesday night? Amen. Never take it for granted how the Lord blesses this church. Not every church can come to the house of God on a Wednesday night especially and feel what we have felt. We have been blessed. We have been honored by the Lord. And so let us never take it for granted that he just comes into this place. And so let us always be honored and feel honored that God has moved in such a way in our midst and in our congregation. Welcome to all of our guests. Let's let our guests know that we love them. We appreciate our guests. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of this service tonight. Turning to Joshua chapter 1 and also directing your attention to Proverbs chapter 6. We will look at three verses of scripture before our text is through. So we'll look at Joshua chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 6. Directing your attention to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. When you're there, just go ahead and say amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the word of God reminds us, saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you would, please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you this evening. And let's all pray, asking God's blessings to be upon this service tonight, and that he would move in every heart in this place. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come together as a unified force, unified voice, one mind, one accord. We lift our hands, oh Lord, and we pray, asking that your Spirit would move into this building, casting out all doubt and unbelief, removing all hindrances from this building, and that your Spirit would have a free move in this place, that your will would be completely accomplished in this place tonight. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, every stronghold of the enemy cast down, put under our feet, O Lord, and that the glory of the Lord would move among us, and that, Lord, people would be healed in their minds, in their bodies, saved, set free, and that your will would be accomplished in Jesus' name. Anoint me to preach it and teach it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you clap your hands once again under the Lord? I will do my best to be brief, but I will try also to do this lesson justice. The title that I feel like the Lord spoke to me last evening during prayer meeting is the title would be The Missing Piece of the Puzzle. To say this message is our solution to all things would be incorrect. However, this message is simply a piece of the puzzle that seems to go missing often. In order to exhaust what I know about this subject, and what I know is probably just a drop in the bucket compared to how much could be revealed on this subject, but it would probably take me at least 25 lessons to do this subject anywhere close to a justice. And so tonight, please understand that there is so much more that I cannot cover. What I'm going to do is going to be a little bit spotted, but I believe the way I'm going to do it, you will be able to find a gist and an understanding that you can follow. And so it is easy for us to understand that you can't get the full benefit from a bicycle without pedals. It is easy for us to understand that you can't get the full benefit from an automobile without wheels. You could go to the Chevy dealer, so to say, and get into a 2016 Chevrolet Suburban. As you are sitting under the driver's wheel of the fine automobile, the salesperson is telling you all the information available on a 2016 Chevy Suburban in general. Not specifically the one you are in, but overall, a specific overview of the general vehicle that you would see. You could listen to his voice, understand what he's saying, and begin to realize that you are in connection with state-of-the-art vehicle. And the information would be correct that he's speaking. He knows it well. He studied it, taken it home, looked at it. But just so happens now, the car, the vehicle, the Suburban that you are sitting in has no wheels. But you're under the seat. You're under the driver wheel. You're under the steering wheel. And you're not able to see the disability of the particular vehicle that you are sitting in. The one you're in cranks fine, has a very good sound system, beautiful seats and interior, not a crack in the windshield. Everything that you have looked at, touched, and examined seems to be exactly the way the salesman described. So you decide to reach up and catch the selector. Your heart's pounding and it's excitement. You just know that this is going to be a fine ride. And all of a sudden, as you catch the selector and you begin to pull it down, your foot's on the brake and you look around, check the mirror and go side to side. And my, you're about to take your foot off that brake and that vehicle's about to move. You have such great expectations of the power of the handling and all that that vehicle has to offer. You are about to experience all of the technology, all of the engineering, all of the millions of dollars that went into discovering that quality of an automobile. You take your foot off the brake, you don't feel anything at all. You accelerate, the engine revs, but there is no motion from the vehicle. All of a sudden, that great expectation that you had in your heart, all of the imagination and the thought begins to be wiped away, and now you're beginning to think, what's wrong with this vehicle? What have I done wrong? What am I not doing right? What kind of new feature do they have on these things that I haven't learned about? And so the list in your mind goes on and on as to what in the world could be happening. In our walk with God, we can easily end up with just a religion that has no ability to untrack itself. And many of us go through our religious activities and we're somewhat satisfied, but only to a degree. There are days that we need more. There are weeks that we need more. There's months and sometimes years that we need more. But somehow we're just locked into our little religion that has no wheels. We put it in gear. We rev up the engine. We hear the messages. We read the Bible. We hear all about it. But somehow we just cannot untrack ourselves. We go through a ritual, we go through a routine, we go through the basics, but something is keeping us from rolling. All of the words of the Bible, all of the preaching we've heard, all of the praying, and all of the stuff somehow is not really coming to pass in our personal relationship. We see the other Suburbans, so to speak, moving on. We see other people living for God, moving on. We see things happening for other people. People can stand up and say, I got a double blessing instead of the one I was praying for. I got mine and I got another one on my shoulder or wherever. I got the one I came up to pray for and then I just got an extra one. And then we sit there wondering, why don't I get an extra one? So we must realize that it is possible that we can have a formality of religion without any power thereof. We can rev our motor. We can look like other Christians. We can set up in there and look like we know what's going on, but we're actually wondering why we can't go forward. Something is holding us back. I've got a disconnection somehow to the ground. The rubber won't meet the road, so to speak. Somehow, I'm just revving my engine. I'm clapping like a Christian. I'm praying like a Christian. I'm going to church like a Christian, but the power is not there. Speaking tonight on the subject, the missing piece of the puzzle. Now again, I must advise you that there is so much I could speak on, but I do not have the time. So I am doing my best to give you the actual sort of a pinpoint here and there. We can be a lot like that vehicle if we're not careful. We can have all the lookalikes and all seemingly all the pieces, but some critical parts are missing. Now, we can get so involved and so comfortable with our religious routine that not even God, when He offers us the missing pieces, will sit there and look at Him saying, I'm too comfortable. I've just gotten my routine down pat and I just can't let anything rock the boat. I've got a little system. I'm comfortable in my system. And he's standing there with a handful of pieces. He's thinking now, if I could just give that person these pieces, the engine will be connected to the differential. The tires will make it to the pavement. And they'll begin to move from their rut. In 2015, it's time for the church. It's time for the Christians. It's time for the blood-bought, spirit-filled individuals. It's time for those who are called by His name to begin to make tracks in this old weary land. It's time for us to begin to just get off of padded pews, so to speak. Get out of our comfort zones and get out of our four walls and begin to move into the territories of this old dreary land and begin to tell people and show people by example that it's more to it than just sitting on padded pews, and it's more to it than just being happy clappy, and it's more to it than just punching a clock on Sunday morning, Wednesday night and Sunday night. It's more to it than just having a religious routine, but there is some power that comes with this thing. There is some power that will destroy every yoke of the enemy. There is power that will cast out sin. There is power that will cast out devils. There is power that will heal your mind. There's power that will set you free, but we've just got to tap into that. Oh, come on now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've come to share with you tonight that the very word of salvation, the very word salvation means deliverance. I want somebody to go ahead and say, oh Lord, I've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. I've repented of my sin. I've been spirit-filled, buried in water in the name of Jesus. I claim salvation. Where is my deliverance? Oh, come on now. There's deliverance in salvation. But if you don't have your deliverance, there's a piece of the puzzle missing.
Amen. That's right. Good.
If you don't have your joy, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. Amen. If you don't have your testimony, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. If you don't have your victory, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. If you don't have your anointing, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. Can we all give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? If we don't love our neighbor, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. Are you with me tonight? If we can't pray for our enemies, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. Those that despitefully use us and abuse us, if we cannot love them and cannot pray for them, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. Are you with me tonight? I'm talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about Christianity. If we don't have the deliverance that comes with salvation, we may not have the salvation that the Lord's expecting us to have. It's time for us to quit fooling ourselves. The missing piece of the puzzle. There are so many things that block the blessings. I could probably, if I knew how to write a book, it would probably be at least 500 pages. It is so many things that can block the blessing. But if I had to condense it down, I could probably condense it probably to about 25 words. But here in a moment, I'm going to condense it probably even more when I close. We need to realize that in this hour, that the world is sowing so many seeds and influences. And there's so many ideas and so many philosophies and so many thought processes and so much stuff is introduced to us. And when we begin to allow these influences to come into our life, well, I want to look like that. Well, I want to live like that. And I can't call them all out, but we've just got to be so careful as to what has control of our eyes. We've got to be so careful as to what has control of our heart. We've got to be so careful as to what it has control of our tongue. We have to be so careful of what we allow our bodies to travel toward. We have to be so careful as to what we allow our imaginations to do. Now, bear with me a moment. I am going to hurry, but we've got to realize that there are so many things calling for us. In the clutter of life, there's a hand and a whisper doing this to you. In all of the darkness, in all of the stuff out there, everywhere you turn, there's a hand like this. You may not see it physically, but there is a spiritual influence out there that is constantly trying to call us off of the job in which God has called us to do. Amen. So with this foundation laid, I'm going to do my best to lay down some things. The enemy is constantly trying to sow things into our heart. Wherever you think your spiritual heart is, just go ahead and touch that. Some people think it's right here. Other people think their spiritual heart's right here. I haven't ever taught that here. It's not really important. Some people think their spiritual heart's right here. Some people think their spiritual heart's right here. But wherever you believe it is, don't look around, lay your hand on that area and say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over my heart, over my spiritual heart, over my soul, over my core of my being, Lord. I pray over that. You see, that's what we got to do. You see, that's how you do that. Pray over that core of your being. Let's don't just pray for the fringes. Let's don't just pray for the little fringes and the little parts and pieces. But we got to pray for the core element of our being. Amen. Come on. Now, Now, with this kind of prayer, with this kind of focus, we are aligning ourselves with the whole will of God. Now, when we begin to pray that way, things are gonna, you're gonna have a battle in your mind, in your heart. It'll happen for a little while. Because the things that you have been overlooking that's not of God begin to have to surface. And you'll have to be the gatekeeper. And you'll have to stand at your own gate of your soul. And when you pray that way, these little things that don't belong in your soul, that they're going to come up because they're going to have to be cast out. Because that spirit and that anointing that you're praying has is pulling them out of there, and they're going to have to come. And then all of a sudden your consciousness and your flesh is going to have to make a judgment call. And you're going to say, hey, oh, wait a minute, let's just kind of, you know, I've got such a ritual, and I've been living for God this way, and I don't know how I would make it if I had to get rid of that. You see what I mean? And the next thing we know, we're putting stuff back into our walk with God. And we are constructing our kind of relationship with God instead of His kind of relationship with God. These things will block our blessings. They will stop our blessings in the track. Just stop them. The blessings, the supernatural blessings that come from God, they will just be stopped. And you'll be living your walk with God and living your little routine thinking, where is my help? Where is my joy? Where is my anointing? Why is it my prayers accomplishing more? And it's because we have formulated our own little tradition of religion and not God's religion. Is that okay? Now, our tongue, that our scriptures talk about it, that we read it, or our mouth rather, and I'm going to get to that pretty quick. But the abundance of the heart, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we've got to realize that we are sort of a gatekeeper, and we are responsible, and we've got to keep our little spiritual house tidy if the things are going to work as they should work. Amen. Now, so when we find our missing pieces in our walk with God, then we too will begin to see the amazing progress and action in our own relationship with Jesus. The writer of Proverbs was trying to bring godly direction to God's people, so he told them why their walk with God was not prospering. In Proverbs 6:2, he says, "Thou art snared," everybody say snared, "thou art snared with the words of thy mouth." Now point at your mouth. Now, so he's saying, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken, everybody say taken. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So we are snared and we are taken because of our mouth. Now, our words of our mouth will either take us closer to God or further away. Now, take a moment and ponder, which direction is our mouth or your mouth taking you? What effect does your mouth have on your prayers being answered? Now, what effect does your mouth, my mouth, our mouth have on God moving in your life? And so I've seen people get out of prayer meeting and they're not even left where they prayed, and they begin to desecrate the area in which they prayed with idle talk and with unbecoming behaviors of a Christian. And they don't understand that all of the work they just did in prayer, if you really pray, it's not easy. And so if you're really praying and you're breaking through and you're interceding and you're travailing for the things of God to come into your life, that's hard work. And so I don't understand why people want to tear down what they just done in prayer. And so Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Our words of our mouth will either take us closer to God or further away. Our words of our mouth can bring us into an intimate, prosperous relationship with the Lord, or it will bring us into a religious formality that can't bring us to where we want to go. Our mouth can be a snare to our own feet. Our words can be like a net from the fowler that is thrown over us, captures us, arrests us, and we go through a religious routine, but we never really travel anywhere in the Lord. Our own words can take us captive and hold us there until we start putting the right pieces. Everybody say the right pieces. The right pieces of the puzzle into our life. Now you see, we all have religious pieces. We all have religious ideas and religious thoughts and theories. And some of we got them being raised in a religious home. We got them around this person, that person, and another person, or on the radio or wherever it may be. And we begin to take these messed up pieces that are of man, and we begin to put them into our walk with God. And we wonder why our walk with God isn't flourishing. They're man's pieces of religion, not God's pieces of relationship. Now, I could explain to you how to make a car go from 0 to 319 miles an hour in 4.8 seconds. I could tell you that in about 6 hours. But if you go and buy substandard materials, trying to save $250,000, you're not going to have the car I told you about. So you have to pay the price. I said you've got to pay the price to get the quality. If we pay the price in prayer, if we pay the price in righteousness, if we pay the price in holiness, if we put it on the dotted line, so to speak, then the power is going to be present with all the pieces. Oh, could somebody bless the name of the Lord? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. Everybody say observe. Observe to do according to all. Everybody say all. Say it again, all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now notice that he puts what we want at the back of the verse, or at the end of the verse, and he puts what he wants up at the front. Now, if we accomplish what he's looking for, then we're going to step into what we're looking for. Everybody have that? Am I boring you tonight? But a lot of people want to go ahead and start at the back, you see. Have you ever watched somebody go to a book rack, pull a nice book off the rack, and then they go to the back of the book. They skip all that stuff up front. Then they make a decision on whether the book's good or not. Okay? We that's a principle that we have been learned. We've been taught that somehow. And we, if we're not careful, we'll use that on the most crucial parts of our life. Now, so this verse, this principle of this verse is that when we obey the front, when we obey the request of the Lord, then he will fulfill the promise of the Lord. Amen. Missing pieces is when we refuse to follow suit and to fulfill the front, the expectation of God. We have pieces missing in our life, and those pieces will void the promise. Now, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, everybody say, for then. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This verse is extremely enlightening when it comes to finding the missing pieces in our life. First of all, number one, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. This is what we've got to get. We've got to tell ourselves, grab yourself by the neck here, by the collar, and say, self. You get yourself right up into a mirror and say, oh boy, we got to get control of my mouth. Amen. We got to get a hold of this thing because my mouth is affecting what's coming in to my life. If we get a bunch of garbage coming in, you know the old saying, garbage out, garbage in. Garbage in, garbage out. It works both ways. So if we are constantly allowing things to bombard our mind and our heart and to infiltrate us, and our heart becomes sinful, and our heart becomes judgmental, our heart becomes envious, our heart becomes unfriendly and unkind and hateful, then our tongue will reveal it. Are we okay? And there you go. We are missing a piece of the puzzle right there. Christians often get very loose with their mouth as if it has nothing to do with their relationship with God. But if we want our relationship with God to begin to go in a prosperous direction, we must fill our mouth with the law of God. Everybody say, that's Bible. Secondly, we must not only talk the law of God, but our mind must be filled with the law of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt. Everybody say, thou shalt. Now that is a commandment. Everybody say, that's a commandment. This is a command. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now the Lord has given you an activity. This is how you're going to get control of your mouth. You might say, I'm not talking about gossiping. You may think I'm just talking about gossiping. Gossiping is not of God. It is not of God, and you will not have a great walk with God with that in your life. But there are other things. Well, I'm nobody. I'm a nothing. Why would God do this to me? And you could go through all of the negative speech that you can think of. And all of this goes against the verses that tell us to prophesy with our mouth. To speak with our mouth. In other words, we must declare the goodness of the Lord. Oh, somebody right now ought to go ahead and say, you know what? It may look bad, feel bad, and sound bad. I may be knocked down, but I'm not out. I'm getting up in the name of Jesus by the authority of the Holy Ghost and the power of the name of Jesus. I'm coming out of this hole. I'm coming out of this mess. It's not going to stay this way because my God is faithful. He is faithful. Who has promised? Oh, I wish somebody could help me here tonight. That's what God wants to hear coming out of our mouth. That's what God wants to hear coming from us. He wants us to hear a man of God and a woman of God that's saying, my God will spare me. He'll answer my faintest cry. He'll hear me in the night. He'll deliver me. Amen. That's what he wants to hear. Now, when we speak like that and we meditate on the Word of God day and night, we are putting together something that becomes so powerful and becomes so unstoppable that no presence in hell can separate you from the blessings of the Lord. Trying to teach you a little something here, just a small little nugget of how to be blessed. Now, we must fill our mouth with the law. Everybody say, I must fill my mouth with the law. Secondly, we must not only talk the law, but we must fill our mind. We must meditate on it day and night. We must fill our mind day and night with the law of God. For one reason, it's one reason. The instruction in this verse is that we must meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do. Amen. Now look at your feet. I've got to get these feet in motion to do one thing. And that's to do the law of God. Amen. That is in my mouth and that is fill my mind day and night. Amen. That's true. Now, the instruction in this verse is that we meditate so that we can do according to all, everybody say all, that is written. Once we get the law in our mouth, then we fill our mind with the law of God day and night. Then that brings us to the third piece of this verse that is necessary for godly action in our life. When the law is in our mouth and the law is in our mind day and night, then godly supernatural action can begin to happen in our life. The third part of this verse is to do what is in our mouth and in our mind day and night. Everyone say action. Everyone wants godly action, but we often expect godly action when too many pieces of the puzzle are still missing in our life. Once we get the first three pieces of the puzzle in place, the Bible says, for then, after then, only then, when we get those three pieces in place, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So a lot of times when our life's falling apart, we want to blame the preacher. When our life's falling apart, we want to blame our neighbor. When the life's falling apart, we want to blame somebody else. The boss won't give me enough hours. When our life's falling apart, we got this one to blame, that one to blame, everybody else to blame. But the truth is, if we put the law of God in our mouth and we meditate on it day and night and with the intention of doing everything that is written therein, it just doesn't matter who's fouling up out there. There's just going to be power coming to our lives. And it's going to come with the intention to make us prosperous. Everybody getting that? I think we ought to reach our hand up and just reach up and get that so far and pull that down. Put it where it goes right now. And then thou shalt have good success. When we get the law in our mouth and the law in our heart, the law in our mind, and we are doing it with our feet, with our body, then a supernatural presence is going to come to us and it's going to be there to prosper us and to give us success. Now, those who know and follow God's word and law will be prosperous and successful in that they possess the wisdom to live righteously and to achieve God's goal for their lives. In Psalms 14 and 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. That's what he's looking for right now. He wants to pour out the blessings of heaven. He wants to pour out the supernatural blessings of heaven. He wants to pour out healing. He wants to pour out miracle signs and wonders. He wants to fulfill the promises that's in this Bible. But he looks down on the earth and he's saying, who's got the law of God in their mouth? Who's got their mind full of the law? Oh, holy day and night. Who is doing it? Who's letting their feet carry them in the right direction? Who is it? I'm looking for them. I'm looking for them so that I can bless them and prosper them and give them success. Some of you may be thinking about high-rise buildings, Rolls Royces, and limousines so long you got to put a hinge in the middle. We're not talking about that. We're talking about prosperity and the supernatural dimensions of God. Now, seeking God with a willingness to understand is what the Lord is looking for. This is what He needs from us to make our life in Him progress. In Matthew, and this is my last verse, and hurry into a finish line here. In Matthew 6 and 33, everybody say that with me out loud. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here again, we get instructions in the New Testament of how to do it. We are told to seek ye first. Everybody hold up one finger. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now that one phrase, kingdom of God, is so much to explain that I cannot touch it or do it justice right now. But we must seek the fullness, everybody say the fullness, of the kingdom of God. Not according to our definition, but according to His. So we must seek the kingdom of God And then what we must do? We must take the kingdom of God and mix it with His, not ours, but His righteousness. In order to get His kingdom, we got to put ours down. In order to get His righteousness, we got to let go of ours. That's a total surrenderance to ours. Total stepping away of me and mine. And totally reaching for His. Okay? Hope we get in this tonight. Just as the sun creates a gravitational pull that is responsible for the order of the planets staying as God has placed them, in order for our solar system to maintain order and proper placement of the planets, gravity must be maintained by the sun. When a star drifts outside of the gravitational pull, then there is no longer anything to hold that star in God's divine path. And as that star has drifted out of the divine order that it has been charged to operate in, as that star moves out of that divine supernatural state that God had put in place in Genesis chapter 1, when a star slips out of that zone in which it was ordained to operate in, something's missing. The star could say, why don't I travel like I used to travel? How did I get off of my path? It could say the solar system's missing. But it wouldn't be the solar system missing. It's the star that's missing. You see, when we drift out of the supernatural gravitational pull of God, when we drift out of holiness and we drift out of truth and we drift out of the Word of God and we drift out of the divine order, God's not missing. His kingdom's not missing. We're just missing from His kingdom. Are we okay? So we need to check ourselves. Has our tongue pulled us out of the divine rotation? Have our negativeness and our negative thoughts and our negative ideas and the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, has all these things nudged us day after day until we have gotten off of our divine course that God has called us to travel, and now we're zooming through space wondering where all of His help is and wondering where we are and we don't know what's going on and why did it all go away? It didn't go away. It's right where it always been. We just stepped out of where God has put us. And as that star leaves that order, that divine order, it no longer moves like God has set it up to move. And now it's traveling at outrageous speeds, and friction is building and flames begin to start as soon as it gets into our atmosphere. And this thing that was designed to be adored and looked at and to give light and direction is now on fire and headed for a course of complete and total destruction. Mount Pisgah, I'm closing right here, but we are called of God to be flaming evangels in our community and where we are. But when we get out of sync with God and out of step with God, and we lose our prayer life and we lose our faith and we lose our joy and we lose our divine order, we're just sailing through this thing. We may have a form of godliness, but we do not have the power thereof. Only when we are putting all the pieces of God into our life can the supernatural gravity of the Holy Ghost maintain holy order in our life. I am hurrying. Only when the gravity is at full power will the things of God be drawn into our life that should come. God has promised, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things Many of us jump past seeking the kingdom, and we jump past seeking the righteousness, and we run after the things like a dog chasing cars or something. We just reckless and out of control, and we exert ourselves, and we cry, and we weep, and we wonder why God isn't helping us. But it's because we don't have the authority to have the things. But when we have the kingdom, and we have the Holy Ghost righteousness, and we put the two together, then we're going to have a supernatural gravitational pull. And there will not be one thing you need. There will not be one thing you need that will not come to you. When you get kingdomness in you, and you get holy righteousness in you, then all of a sudden, there's going to be a gravitational pull, and all the things in your life is going to begin to straighten up. And they're going to just take an order. They're going to have a divine order, and they're going to march according to the way God said they're going to march. Come on now. I'm hurrying to a close. I'm doing this as fast as I can. But some things are out of control in our life because we have let some principles go escape. We've got to pull these things back into our life. Not sure what's wrong with the PA, but we need to understand we got to pull these principles and these things back into our life so that we can grasp the things that God has promised to us.
Spending time on saying, well, God, I want that, but you just won't answer my prayer. You just won't let this. If you would just do this for me, then everything would be okay. That's not how he laid it down. He says, if you'll do this for me.
Yes. Yes.
to bless us. He's looking through the land. And he's seeking whom he can bless. Who is it? But he will not break his laws. He's not going to pass up the kingdom and the righteousness to give you the things. He's looking for a man or a woman that's really in the kingdom like he says they ought to be. That's really in his righteousness like he says they ought to be. Then the things are going to just come into their life. That's why I could tell the Lord that it doesn't concern me that the people isn't visible in this community like he has told me that, or like I had felt that he has said will be here. Because in Genesis 1 and 1, he needed people and he just made them out of dirt. That's his job. I'm not supposed to be worrying about where the people are. All I need to be doing is trying to be preaching the kingdom principles and the righteousness of God, and the rest of it's just going to make its way. I'm closing right now, saints. So all over this place, in the name of Jesus, I want you to just ask the Lord right now in this prayer. Lord, I want a Holy Ghost construction site going on right now in my mind, in my heart, in my life. Lord, I've got to get whatever it is that's blocking my blessings, that's hindering me from being what you want me to be. I've got to get this out of the way, because we desperately need supernatural power, and we need healings, and we need blessings in our families. We need marriage is healed. We need children brought into the kingdom of God. We need families born again. We need so much miraculous to take place, Lord. But we cannot afford to let it be us that's the problem. Lord, cleanse my mind, my heart, and my soul. And help me, Lord, to fill my mouth with the law of God and get the divine order in my house tonight. The altars are open once again. If you want to step out, I know it's a Wednesday night. God has chosen to give us a visitation at 8:42. Just take a moment and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever is hindering me from the supernatural things that I so desperately need, Lord, help me to get it. Help me to get kingdom minded, kingdom passionate, righteous as you are righteous. And Lord, these things will come unto me in the name of Jesus. The missing piece of the puzzle could very well be us dropping on the side. Could be very well us that's missing from his action, missing from his table, missing from his plan, failing to incorporate everything in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
you, Jesus. Just take a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. On a Wednesday night. Repent of every sin. Repent of everything. Oh, hallelujah. Clap of praise. Yes, Lord. Is anybody blessed tonight? Has anybody been blessed tonight? Has the Lord touched you tonight? You feel like you got a hold of something you can apply tomorrow and use? I hope so. I hope so. Oh, hallelujah. It's 8:48. Went a little over, but I believe God has given us something. Well worth our while. Well worth our while. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these great people. Thank you for our guests tonight. Lord, I ask that you would watch over our guests. Keep them safe. Bring them back, Lord, again at the appointed times. Lord, I pray that you would watch over our people. And as we all leave this building, I pray, Lord, that we would not leave the principles that we have learned tonight. Or we would not step away from the power and the presence that we have felt tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would conduct ourselves in such a manner that this presence and this power would abide with us constantly. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit would lead us and guide us, teach us and train us. I pray, Lord, that you would put people in our paths that we could witness to and talk to and convert to the house of God and to the spirit and truth of the Lord. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring us back with many visitors at the appointed time at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord once again and bless his holy name. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands and be friendly. Thank you.